It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Indeed, it is hump day, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you so much for joining us. We are living in a remarkable time. Today, take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Strive for excellence. You have purpose. You were made for this time. And thank you to this great team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. It is happy Wednesday to you, producer Steve.
Yes, it is. And did you just say the word remarkable?
I did say remarkable.
Huh. That word in my lifetime has always had kind of a positive connotation to it, but I'm not thinking... I got to find another adjective, I guess.
Well, you know, it is remarkable. We are walking through something that is historic. And when we talk to Stan Everett about in the course of human events, when in the course of human events, in this course of human events, we are at our time in this course. And it is remarkable what people are doing, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But remarkable, I think, means when we come out on the other side, we will realize it's been a remarkable time.
We'll say, holy smokes, what just happened here? You know, and you mentioned it before in terms of the way you phrase it, you know, these are the times we were made for. Mm-hmm. And I think I've delineated, it's like we in history, we talked about the revolution and the guys... The founders staring down the barrels of the British cannons, and I never thought of the times we live in up until now were anything like that, but they really are.
They actually really are. And now the Declaration of Independence was not signed by everyone on the 4th of July. I think it was into August. Stan Everett, he knows all of that. But I hadn't really thought about it, Steve. That I don't know if I thought that they all walked up and they all were in a big circle and they all signed the Declaration of Independence. Apparently, as they were each signing that, each name was called, and that person solemnly walked forward and signed their name as they could hear the British cannons down the river, realizing that that very much, very possibly was signing their death sentence, and they did it anyway.
Well, was it Franklin who said... We all hang together or we hang separately.
That was Benjamin Franklin for sure. So, hey, be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and sign up for our weekly newsletter there. Really important. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, our most recent op-eds, and our most recent podcasts. And Patty has done just some great work on several of these op-eds. Regarding this LEAP initiative that's going to be on the ballot, that new marijuana tax, for the children, how does that work out? We actually have read the initiative and are really getting into it. It's important that people understand what they're voting for instead of just the sound bites. And, of course, we'll be doing our voter's guide as well. So anyway, check that out. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And I so appreciate all of you who are supporting us in what we're doing. We are an independent voice, as I think you all know. I purchased my airtime so that I am not constricted by what I say. So we get to choose our guests, we get to choose our subjects, and we are searching for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Remember, it's not compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood, whether with a weapon, but policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, the latest silent thief, and that is government-induced inflation. And we'll talk about that in a little bit more in the second segment. And if something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to use force to implement it. Socialism is not about free stuff. Socialism is ultimately about force. The free stuff is just the carrot to get people to vote for socialism. And it's difficult to get back out of it. And we are being faced with that right now, Steve, on how to get back out of this.
To get unthinking people to vote for it.
Aha. Or people that are not listening to the Kim Munson Show.
Yeah, there you go.
Our quote for today, and it's very apropos. We've all heard Nathan Hale. You grew up in Pennsylvania history, so you probably know Nathan Hale's story, right?
I do, but not because I learned it in high school, because I was too much of a dope.
You weren't smoking dope. You
no,
were
no,
just
I
dope,
was just,
right?
You know, like, what does this really mean for me here and now?
Okay. I didn't realize he was only, let's see, as I'm looking at this, 21 years old when he was hanged by the British. And he was an American patriot. Nathan Hale was an American patriot, soldier, and spy for the Continental Army during the American Revolutionary War. He volunteered for an intelligence gathering mission in New York City, but was captured by the British and executed. Hale has long been considered an American hero, and in 1985, he was officially designated the State Hero of Connecticut. He was born in 1755, and he died September 22nd, 1776. And this is what he said right before they hanged him. "I only regret that I have but one life to lose for my country."
Well, certainly by September of 1776, the British were aware of the Declaration. You know, maybe they hadn't read it yet, but they were aware that something was going on. So they were pretty smoking.
They were mad.
They were pretty mad. So poor Nathan.
So 21 years old, and when I say we stand on the shoulders of giants, we really do. And speaking of that. Mike Lindell in South Dakota is holding a three-day symposium regarding election integrity. And I watched some of it yesterday as I was working on the computer. And he said that last night they were going to have a bombshell. Everybody tune in at, I think it was 7 o'clock Central Time. And I think this whole thing starts up again today at 8 o'clock our time. And I couldn't believe it when the bombshell was Colorado. And out onto the stage came Sharona Bishop, who actually she spoke at one of our Stand for Colorado rallies, and Colonel Sean Smith, who we've had on the show with the U.S. Election Integrity Plan, and then Tina Peters, who I also know, who is the Mesa County Clerk and Recorder. And she said, "I cannot unsee some of the things that I've seen." And we've been hearing here in Colorado that from both Democrats and Republicans, nothing to see here. This is the gold standard in election integrity. And Tina Peters actually stepped out onto the stage and is starting to debunk this. And while she was on her way to South Dakota, Secretary of State Jenna Griswold had some of her minions actually went in and raided Tina's office in Mesa County. So this is going to get real interesting, Steve, because if there's no there, if this is the gold standard, then why is Jenna Griswold issuing these new rules about our elections? Why is she over there going through Tina Peters' office? One has to ask those questions. I think we're going to find out, but when we talk about patriots stepping forward, I just about fell off my chair when I saw the three of them walk out on stage last night.
Could this be, you know me, I'm snarky. Could this be another Watergate in the making? I mean, Richard Nixon wasn't at the Watergate Hotel. His minions were. And Jenna Griswold wasn't at this office, but her minions were.
Well, stay tuned to find out. Once again, it seems like if there was no there, then, then we wouldn't have all this activity. So Mike Lindell is doing this three-day symposium. It started yesterday, and you can watch it on, I think it's frankspeech.com. And they indicate that on Thursday, there will be more information that will be forthcoming about this. And so I think that is going to be very interesting. They are streaming this 24/7. Oh, in fact, if you go to it right now, Sharona and Tina Peters and Sean Smith are speaking. So don't actually, you're watching the show right now, but if you wanted to go take a look at that, that's possible. And you can listen to the show later today from 1 to 2 or 10 to 11 tonight. And so that is pretty amazing. And I think all roads may lead to Colorado. I've heard a number of my friends say that. And I think that's a very real possibility as we're looking at what is happening here. And I just wanted to quote on this. She said, I was bringing people here from Colorado on my plane. This is Lindell. And while they were on their way here, their office was raided. Why was their office raided? There's a lot of complications out of this. After what happened, we don't know what they did. It's a scary situation. They are doing their job, and all of a sudden, they take over with fear. It'll probably be Thursday. The second part of this, this will probably be even bigger. And so stay tuned. And then I was looking over here at the Gateway Pundit, and they said that the Mesa County Clerk and Recorder's Office is under investigation by the Colorado Secretary of State's Office for breach of security over its election system. And this was one other thing that I saw just kind of go across the wire, was that the it alluded, at least the way I can understand it, is that passwords that Mesa County had for their Dominion machines, somehow there was a security breach and those were released. But again, we're going to get more information about this, but Tina said that the Secretary of State had those passwords. So stay tuned on all this, my friends. I think it's going to get real interesting here. People told me that August is going to be a hot month, and I think that it is. But we're going to go to break.
Before you go to break, Gil, just as a follow-up, isn't it odd that in our news packages today that we see that Dominion is filing a lawsuit against some of the conservative news sites?
Yeah, and actually, I think that was yesterday that they did that just as the symposium was starting.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's going to get very interesting, so...
Go to break.
Yeah, and, well, it's Wednesday. So that means it is Wings Day at Hooters Restaurants, and you can buy 20 wings. You get 10 for free. That's for to-go or to dine in, and they have these great smoked wings. The girls are coming over tonight, Steve, so I will be ordering those for delivery, and the girls do love them. And I think they have the best wings in town. They really are great. And so go to my website to get more information about all of the specials that Hooters has. You go to my sponsors tab, and click on that. I highly recommend. I know each and every one of these sponsors. I highly recommend each and every one of them. So be sure and check that out. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And we'll be right back with more headlines.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is kimmunson.com, MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who support us. I greatly appreciate that. Just going through the headlines, we see, this is remarkable again, that Governor Cuomo of New York has resigned because of these allegations regarding that he sexually harassed 11 women. And here the guy was bulletproof during the whole COVID-19 thing. He was receiving, what, Emmy Awards and all kinds of different awards. And he resigns because of these allegations. And we do believe in due process. But for some reason, he decided to resign instead of going through that. This is going to get, I guess this is about as interesting as it is. And so now Lieutenant Governor Kathy, I think it's Hochul, is to become New York's first female governor to take part in that. Another thing I am just so concerned about, and that is this infrastructure bill that passed and the fact that we had 19 Republican senators that joined in on this. They are spending us into oblivion. And when I talked about government-induced inflation, that is a direct result on this kind of stuff. So people, no matter whether or not you're Democrat or independent or unaffiliated, libertarian, Republican, conservative, this is a silent thief. This is like taking money out of your pocket because the value of your dollar, the value of your purchasing power goes down every time that they spend this kind of money. And this opens up the door, I guess, Steve, for a $3.5 trillion budget, I think is what they said. And again, this is spending us into oblivion. Our enemies don't, and actually they've always said that America, if America is ever conquered, it'll be because we've been conquered from within. And this kind of stuff is, I'm just very, very troubled about that, because it's taking money from people via inflation, it's borrowing money, and then it's encumbering. If in fact we get through this and are able to pass on liberty to the next generations, there's this huge bill that we're also passing on to them. There's something immoral about saying that people in the next generations have to pay for something that we spent the money on, Steve.
I don't recognize every name on that list of 19, but there are some very familiar ones like Murkowski, Collins, Romney. What? And the three of those for sure were never Trumpers. So can we connect the dots between what we see here and what we've known to be true for the last, 5 years?
Yeah.
Okay. I just hope that, they're all 19 of them, their phones are ringing off the hook right now with their constituents saying, "What in the world are you doing?"
Well, I hope so. And you know what? I couldn't remember if this $3.5 trillion, that's another bill. I said budget, but that is another bill that then they think that they can pass that via reconciliation, budget reconciliation, which is how they passed Obamacare as well. They don't need the 60 votes. They only need the 51 votes. And so anyway, a couple of things. Senator Ted Cruz, Republican Texas, and Cynthia Lummis, Republican Wyoming, said a provision in the bill would add more regulations on cryptocurrency, potentially destroying the industry. In a recent speech, Cruz said there aren't five senators in this body with any real understanding how cryptocurrency operates. We had had no hearings on this, and yet this body is prepared to obliterate an industry willy-nilly. And a summary of the bill released by Schumer's office on Monday, this is about the $3.5 trillion that's going to be following up, will include free community college tuition. Does that mean all those professors are going to work for free, Steve?
Yeah, sure does, Kim.
Uh-huh. Money to create a so-called civilian climate corps to put young Americans to work. Oh my gosh, can you imagine all these woke kids coming out of college now are going to be funded to create this, it almost sounds military, an expansion of Obamacare, universal pre-kindergarten for 3 and 4 year old children, long-term care for older adults, Medicare expansions, money for homeowners to retrofit their properties to fall in line with climate regulations, and much more. It also includes provisions around illegal immigration. Senator Bernie Sanders, the head of the Senate Budget Committee, that's almost like you can't even say those two things in the same sentence. I'm sorry, it's not funny. But said it would provide a pathway to citizenship for undocumented people without elaborating, according to a separate statement released by his office on Monday. So you want to talk about voter suppression. Think about bringing in a whole bunch of illegal people and giving them citizenship. And how does that suppresses your vote, that marginalizes your vote. you American citizen who's been here paying your taxes all these years. But I did want to go ahead, and I think it's really important. I'd like you to each know their names, the 19 Republicans who sold us out, okay?
Do it.
Senator Roy Blunt, Missouri. Richard Burr, North Carolina. Shelley Moore Capito, West Virginia. Bill Cassidy, Louisiana. Susan Collins, Maine. Deb Fisher, Nebraska. Lindsey Graham, South Carolina. Chuck Grassley, Iowa. John Hovind, North Dakota. Mitch McConnell, Kentucky. Lisa Murkowski, Alaska. Rob Portman, Ohio. Jim Risch, Idaho. Mitt Romney, Utah. Dan Sullivan, Alaska. Tom Tillis, North Carolina. Mike Crapo, Idaho. Kevin Kramer, North Dakota. And Roger Wicker, Mississippi. Those are the names of the Republicans that just sold us out on this.
As you're reading the list, I'm envisioning the states as you call them out. And it's not like these are extreme East Coast, with the exception of Collins, or West Coast. This is right in the heart of America.
And I do hope that people remember that when we go to the ballot box. And this whole election integrity thing is so important because we need to make sure that our votes count. And what we have seen, Steve, is the veil is off on the marginalizing of everyday hardworking Americans' vote. And we did the quote the other day. What was it? The Abraham Lincoln quote. It says, "The ballot is more powerful than the bullet." And that is why we were in this this kind of, as I say, the remarkable time. So let's go over, because I know this kind of hit you this morning, this particular headline. And that is that the Texas Supreme Court allows for the arrest of the Democrats who won't show up at the Capitol. It said that the Supreme Court voided a lower court's order that restricted Texas House Speaker Dade Phelan's authorization to arrest and detain state Democrats who fled the state in July to block a GOP-backed voting overhaul bill. Once again, they are trying to buy time to marginalize your vote. It says the High Court issued a stay of Travis County State District Judge Brad Urishia's order giving Democrats until Thursday to issue a court filing in response. It says Phelan and Governor Greg Abbott, both Republicans, had asked the court to overturn the order by 5 p.m. on Tuesday, and arguing that he stopped the lower court's judge had argued that they stopped them from exercising their constitutional authority to arrest and detain the lawmakers who broke the quorum. And so that's good. I'm pleased that they're staying tough on that, Steve.
Well, if I understand it right, a lot of these birds have yet to come back home again. They're still hanging out in Washington. So, again, who's paying for that? And beyond that is the most basic thing, is that their refusal to do their job.
Well, and I guess a couple of them are in Portugal on vacation.
Portugal, okay.
Yeah. So you wonder how that happened. A couple of other things I wanted to mention. Over 800 unaccompanied children crossing the border illegally apprehended in one day. 800 children. And that's just mind-boggling. When we've talked to Andy Berger about child trafficking, that absolutely breaks my heart. And I wanted to also mention over here, Walensky's husband, Rochelle Walensky's husband, has, which paper is that on, Steve? But anyway, he has a significant investment. Hang with me just a second as I get to it. Okay. Well, I don't have it right here at my fingertips. I bet you Patty will probably send that over to me here in just a minute. But anyway, he has a significant financial interest. Here we go. It says, CDC Director Walensky's husband received $5 million in HHS grants, and that's just the start of it. And so I think that it's important to connect that dot. And then one other thing on this whole thing regarding Mike Lindell and the symposium up in South Dakota right now is it looks like they're getting to proof that the Chinese Communist Party may have very well been playing in our elections. And then you go over to this headline that Patty had pulled, and that is that Anthony Blinken our Secretary of State, told a group of foreign ministers on Friday that he is deeply concerned about the rapid growth of China's nuclear arsenal. He made the remarks during a virtual meeting with the Regional Forum by the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, according to the State Department. He called on China to stop its provocative behavior in the South China Sea and raise concerns about human rights abuses in Tibet, Hong Kong, and other portions of China, according to the summary of remarks released by the State Department. Boy, I bet they're really going to do something about that, Steve. I think you're probably getting Lauren on the line here. Well, I threw that over to you. But and then it also looks like the Biden family may be somewhat compromised by China because of these different business dealings with Hunter Biden. And so when I say that we're in remarkable times or interesting times, the old Chinese proverb of may you live in interesting times, that is certainly the case right now. And so let's see, I wanted to do, let's just do one other thing here. And that was John Eastman and John Yoo have published something that said the progressive crusade to bring down Donald Trump by any means necessary continues to damage the office of the president and the Constitution's separation of powers. New York prosecutors succeeded in subpoenaing, is that how you say that? a sitting president, and thereby interfering with his ability to carry out his duties, all for the sake of indicting a single Trump Organization official for underreporting on taxes. Says now the Biden administration has inflicted even more damage on the presidency by waiving Trump's constitutional right to confidential communications with his closest aides. We are getting to a point where we're almost in a banana republic, the way things are going. But let's go to break, and when we come back, we will continue the conversation.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And wanted to continue on this conversation that we're having regarding these forced vaccinations. It looks like very possibly that we will have within the next few weeks that the FDA will possibly come out and start to approve some of these vaccinations. And in doing so, many of us have had the narrative that this has not been approved by the FDA. And so, therefore, that is one of the reasons why we do not want to get the vaccination. It looks like that may change, and there's going to be even more force there. And so I think it's really important that we continue to have this conversation about the effectiveness of this COVID vaccine. And what we have seen here is that we'll go to this first headline that Patty has pulled. And before we do that, though, want to re-mention Senate Bill 21-142, which this was passed this last election cycle. It was signed into law May 21st by Governor Polis. And in it, it was actually regarding abortion and in the case, they said, of rape or incest. But within that piece of legislation that was signed, it says every person has a right to privacy with respect to personal health decisions, free from coercion or interference from the government. And so it goes to those that are for abortion have always said, my body, my choice. But and when it comes over to forced vaccinations, that does not seem to be the case. And we are seeing worldwide that we have had these forced vaccinations. And in Israel, they have been very, very draconian, I would say, about that. And this is a piece from the from Zero Hedge. It says 14 Israelis have caught COVID-19 even after the booster shot, and some have been hospitalized. And it says, it goes on to say, the population of Israel has been looked upon of late as a global guinea pig of sorts, given it was the first country out of the gate to implement a large-scale booster shot program for people 60 and up who've already been vaccinated with two rounds of the COVID-19 shot. This was announced only at the end of July, and the early data is beginning to trickle in. Israel is considered to have among the world's highest vaccination rates, with 5.3 million of its citizens having been inoculated with two doses, with weeks ago headlines declaring it had reached herd immunity, only for the headlines to give way to reports of the alarming rapid rise of breakthrough cases. And now it appears that even the much-touted COVID booster shot could be failing to protect. Internal Health Ministry data that shows that 14 Israelis have been infected with COVID-19 a week after receiving a booster shot. It says the Times of Israel noted that with over 324 patients hospitalized, many of them are in critical condition. And it was only a little over a week ago that elderly Israelis began receiving the third shot. And so early results and observations have only now begun to come in. And it's not looking good, the Times of Israel continues to report. It says the network says 11 of those infected are over the age of 60, two of whom have been hospitalized, while the other three got their third dose because they were immunocompromised. It confirmed in larger samples the figures could cast doubt on the effectiveness of the booster shot, which Israel has started administering before major health bodies around the world had approved it. And then it said Channel 12 noted that the confirmed new infections were revealed based on tests performed 1 week after the group had received the third shot. And three of the above are being described as younger patients. And so it goes on to say that of the 422,000 Israelis who have so far received their third dose of Pfizer's coronavirus vaccine, 14 have so far reportedly contracted the disease in tests performed 1 week after the shot. Don't you find it interesting, my friends, that we have people out there that are saying that they are vaccinated, but wanting to force that other people, force the choice that other people, take away their choice, to get the vaccination in order to protect those that have had the vaccination. This is like a circular conversation, Producer Steve, where I've gotten it to protect myself, but I want you to get it to protect myself, even though there's breakthrough cases with those that have gotten the vaccination. But I want government to coerce businesses to make sure that you get it, and actually say that if you don't get it, they might take away your job or whatever. What do you think about that?
I don't know. It's like you see, our favorite word is draconian, I guess. But, you know, and it ties in with what Fauci was talking about over the weekend on one of the Sunday morning news shows. And I don't know if this is a smokescreen or what, but here's what he said. He expects the FDA approval anytime now. And then once it does happen, that the fact that they do approve all the different vaccine manufacturers, I guess, and put their rubber stamp on it, that it's going to cause a flood of vaccine mandates from both government and private entities. Again, is it a smokescreen? Is he out there trying to jam this thought down everyone's throat that here's what's coming? And who knows? The FDA still could be months away from doing what they do.
Well, and I think you're referencing this piece that Patty had pulled from the Epic Times. So the Biden administration, this is by Jack Phillips, COVID-19 advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci said over the weekend that he hopes the CCP virus vaccines, I mean, he probably didn't say it quite like that, Steve, but anyway, that's how it's in the piece. It said, will be fully approved by federal drug regulators in the next few weeks, noting in another interview that he believes a flood of vaccine mandates will be handed down after that. With full FDA approval, it's likely that more institutions and businesses will begin to issue vaccine mandates. Currently, vaccines made by Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson are being distributed under FDA emergency use authorization. Let's just think about that, Steve. that this is still under an emergency use, and yet they are working to mandate and force and threaten people with their jobs and their livelihoods if they do not take an emergency use gene therapy that hasn't gone through all kinds of trials. When I say we're in remarkable times, I mean, that is pretty remarkable, Steve.
Well, yeah, but yet even the guy who's, I guess, credited with this new gene therapy, the mRNA function, which is, it's not so much as historical vaccines where they gave you a small or minor dose of whatever it is they were going after. This is a new therapy that goes out and teaches the cells how to make a specific protein, you know, to combat or to make the cells, you know, to take on their resilience to the threat.
Well, and you know, when you look at language, when you look at the different narratives out there, this goes on. They couch the force words in words that would indicate that there was some choice on this. But listen to this. It said, if the FDA approves the vaccine, Fauci said he believes it will drive more Americans to be vaccinated. So you can see the whole force thing in there. It said on August 7th, he told USA Today that he expects numerous vaccine-related mandates will be implemented by private entities after they receive the FDA approval. He says organizations, enterprises, universities, colleges that have been reluctant to mandate at the local level will feel much more confident. Can you believe that? What they're going to be doing is forcing, I mean, look at that. That's across our life, our organizations, enterprises, universities, colleges. They talk about how they really want to marginalize those that want to have the free choice on their own health freedom. It's rather remarkable, Steve.
Well, then you have the vaccine passport geniuses running around and talking about no-fly lists for, you know, people just want to get on a plane, go from point A to B, but could very easily end up on a no-fly list because we know they're keeping these databases.
Well, and again, did you ever believe that we would be at this particular point in time in the United States of America, Steve?
No, but, and I've been saying, you know this, you've heard me say it, I don't believe for a second that the average population understands how this vaccine really works in terms of how any vaccine works. And this, you know, it mitigates the impact to the person who gets it, yes, but it's not doing anything else to prevent the spread. You can be vaccinated and unvaccinated and still spread the virus.
So it's like, why, if that's the case, why would you want to get it? Because we still think that there's risks out there. We're starting to hear stories of, not starting, but it's been squashed to some degree, but of people that have been getting the second shot, and there's been real adverse effects. And gosh, Steve, you just have to wonder, why all the force? I do not understand this. We're going to have an interesting conversation next week. We've had Pam Long on before, and she is was in the military. And Biden's coming out and mandating the vaccines for our military and using our military as a guinea pig. And I really like to know the question is China forcing the vaccinations on all of their military? Because if they're not, I would have to wonder, what do they know that we don't know? We'll find out next. I think she's going to be on next Monday.
Well, from what I know about the Chinese, they're the communist Chinese, they're rather ruthless. So I would be willing to bet that, yes, they are forcing the vaccine on their military.
I think I actually have an answer. Stay tuned on Monday to find out what happens with that. Before we go to break, let's go through another headline here, Steve. And this is by Joseph Mercola. And I have heard that he's been on his website, he's had a lot of information regarding vaccines, and he's been threatened so much that I think some of that information is being taken down. But again, this is the Epoch Times, the one place that where you're not just the one place, but a place where you're getting a lot of great information. And this is what he said. Despite media reports suggesting unvaccinated people will drive mutations of the SARS-CoV-2 or the CCP virus, which causes COVID-19, actual research suggests that more dangerous mutations of the virus could come from the specific nature of the vaccines now being used around the world. Half of Americans have declined the vaccine. It says only 49% of Americans 18 years or older are fully vaccinated, with 56% having received one dose of the two-dose Moderna and Pfizer vaccines. Now, just really think about that. They still have a monumental task of forcing a whole bunch of people. Anybody that has wanted to get the vaccine has had the opportunity to do so, and they have gotten the vaccine. So now we're going to probably start to see we're starting to see more of the stick, of the carrot and the stick. They've given money for people to get the vaccine, all kinds of different carrots. But now we're starting to see the stick come out here. It says some media reports are claiming these unvaccinated people are serving as viral factories for more dangerous variants of the virus. But this false narrative hides the fact that mass vaccinations may be putting us all in a far more dire situation than necessary. Vaccines drive viruses to mutate. He says viral mutation as a consequence of vaccination came to wide public attention in 2018 when Quantum magazine wrote about Andrew Reed's research in Merrick's disease among chickens. The article, "Vaccines Are Pushing Pathogens to Evolve," described how just as antibiotics breed resistance in bacteria, vaccines can incite changes that enable diseases to escape their control. The article goes on to detail the history of Merrick's disease vaccine for chickens, first introduced in 1970. Today, we're on the third version of this vaccine as it stops working within a decade. The reason? The virus has mutated to evade the vaccine. Worse, research suggests this kind of vaccine-induced mutation seems to result in increasingly deadly viruses that are more difficult to treat. So, Steve, this mass forced vaccination or coerced, they're saying the government is saying we're not forcing it, but they're basically going again to that list that we had, these organizations and universities and businesses and corporations, and saying that you have the power to coerce your employees, to force your employees to get this in order to be employed. And certainly that is of great concern. So we're going to go to break here in just a minute. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is another great sponsor of the Kim Munson Show, and they have invested in a great knife sharpening system there. And you really want to have a professional sharpen your knives, because knives are very expensive. And Castlegate Knife and Tool has this great new service. In fact, they were doing an event last week, and I took out one of my kitchen knives. I'm hoping that I remember which one is the sharpest one there, so that I don't have any injuries when I'm cooking, Steve. But be sure and check out Castlegate.com. It is just a fabulous store. They have knives for whether or not you are a chef or a sportsman or a collector. Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you. So be sure and check out Castlegate.com. That's Castlegate.com. And we will be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And we're going to continue on with some of these headlines. And when we talk about freedom versus force, we've talked about socialism. It has this carrot of free stuff. And then after the free stuff, actually it goes to force. And so socialism is not about free stuff. It's all about force. And let's go to another piece. This is from Just the News. And this is by Daniel Payne. He said, the Biden administration is reportedly considering withholding federal funds from various American institutions in order to force a higher vaccination rate among the U.S. populace. The administration's pressure campaign, if enacted, could apply to institutions as varied as long-term care facilities, cruise ships, and universities, potentially affecting millions of Americans. And that was reported by the Washington Post. The White House has lately been frustrated by a lagging vaccine rate, with federal officials urging more Americans to get vaccinated in hopes that doing so might stem the spread of SARS-CoV-2. But wait a minute, didn't we just realize that people that have gotten the vaccination are getting SARS-CoV-2, Steve?
Oops.
Okay. Anonymous sources told the Post that the administration is considering methods such as restrictions on Medicare dollars or other federal funds that could be used to persuade nursing homes and other long-term care facilities to require employees to be vaccinated. So there you have it. You talk about coercion.
Wait a minute. With holding Medicare funds, now you're impacting people with, you know, other serious, you know, maladies. And are you ruthless enough to do that? And I guess the answer is yes.
I guess so. So would you say that they really do care about people if they are saying we will withhold those Medicare funds? I mean, Connect the dots here. They don't really care about people. This is all about force, Steve. And one has to ask, hey, free choice. And I have a lot of people that I care deeply about that have gotten the vaccination, have chosen to do that. And that is their choice. But I have always been enough of a rebel that when you start to use force and coercion, the next question has to be, why?
Or where does it stop?
Or where does it stop? Okay.
I got one here. This particular one was written just for you because you can walk us through this thing. It's a little bit further down the list, but Colorado Republicans aren't winning many elections these days, so they're turning to ballot questions instead. Could you shed some light on that?
Sure, I can.
I know you can.
Okay, Colorado is a bit of a unique state in as much as we have two different ways that we can get things on the ballot, so two different ways in a way to govern ourselves. And one, obviously, is we elect state legislators and the governor down, and they go down to the Capitol, they make laws, but also we have an initiative process, a citizen initiative process, where citizens can go out and get other citizens' signatures on petitions to get different questions on the ballot. And so we have seen Republicans that have put issues on the ballot, and some have been successful and some have not. And so this is a piece that you're referring to, Steve, from the Colorado Sun. And this is by Jesse Paul. And he says, when Democrats in the Colorado legislature this year unveiled their marquee bill to enact new transportation fees to pay for road and transit projects, the measure's conservative opponents had a quick, confident response. See you at the ballot box. The opposition wasn't necessarily talking about trying to unseat Democrats, however. They were vowing to bring a ballot question to unwind the legislation, a route conservatives are increasingly using to influence policy in Colorado. But I have to tell you, it's not just conservatives that have been using this. Both sides have been using that. Says Colorado Republicans have been unable to get many candidates elected over the past two election cycles. We may go back to story one of the show today, and that is regarding election integrity, but we'll visit that a little bit later. But they have seen some success by bringing in opposing ballot measures, mostly around taxes. It says last year, for example, John Caldera, who leads the Independence Institute, and it's interesting they refer to this as Conservative Independence Institute. I would say it's more libertarian. But they secured this income tax reduction through Proposition 116, And then Michael Fields with Colorado Rising Action championed the passage of Proposition 117, which requires voter approval of certain new fees. Now, one of the things going back to the transportation bill that was passed is this Proposition 117 said that if you have an enterprise zone that is charging fees that over a five-year period has more than $100 million in revenue from those fees, then that has to go to the voters to get voter approval for that. So what they actually did in this transportation bill, though, Steve, which is amazing because there's going to be new fees that are going to kick in after the next election cycle. It's kind of like, well, if you were so proud of that fee, why don't you make sure that you people know that you put that fee in so that they can vote on whether or not to keep you down there at the legislature? So one has to you have to understand that they're playing kind of shenanigans on that, Steve.
FEE or TAX, what's the difference?
Both of them, the money has disappeared from your pocket. It's just they've named it differently, Steve. So anyway, Patty had actually taken a good, strong look at this transportation bill. And in it, it actually says in these different fees or these different enterprise zones, if over those 5 years you're starting to bump up against that $100 million threshold, that actually they are to reduce the fees so that they don't, so that that doesn't happen. So once again, they are trying to circumvent you, hardworking Coloradan, on how they take money out of your pocket.
I'm trying to wake people up, and several people, when I mention it, they, you know, you can see their eyebrows go up because the outcome or the realization that it's essentially double taxation. We already pay federal gasoline tax, right?
And state gas tax as well.
Right. Yeah. And then we have this banana brain Buttigieg coming out and saying, well, we want to implement a usage fee. So what is the difference? And is it not double taxation?
Well, okay. And that's a whole nother thing, Steve. A usage fee, it will be that they're going to start to tax you on your mileage. And you can see that under this whole climate change thing, they're going to say there's going to be essential drivers and there will be non-essential drivers. And if you're a non-essential driver, of course, if they now are controlling your car, let's think about it, controlling your car because you're charging it at your home and it's a non-essential day or a non-essential driver day, in essence, they could turn off your electricity so you couldn't charge your car because you're not supposed to be traveling that day. And we know that freedom of mobility is inherent in a free society. So that usage fee, and even when I was on city council, they were talking about this. They play long ball. They keep pushing, they keep pushing, they keep pushing. But when they start to be able to tax you on your usage, then they can start to constrict you on your usage.
Let's not forget that as each model year passes, the amount of data that a car will generate and can be uploaded, sent somewhere else, is growing. Well, speaking of transportation, can we talk about our dear president for a second?
Sure.
And his latest executive order?
Okay.
Because I know you like executive orders.
Oh, I do.
Biden told an assembly of labor and political leaders, as well as top execs from General Motors, Ford, and Stellantis NV, which owns all the Chrysler projects, products, Chrysler, Dodge, Ram, that he signed an executive order setting out a target of 50% of all passenger vehicles sold by 2030 will be electric, and set into motion an all-out effort to do so. Now, I know, you know, and many people, smart people know, paying attention to what's going on in different places in the country. We see the brownouts, the blackouts, on the West Coast. We've also seen what happened in Texas back in February. We already have a power generation issue. Now, he's going to flood the market with EVs between now and, 2030. And I want to know what he's doing to step up or ramp up our power generation capability.
Oh, and that's, you know what, I meant to bring that with me, is we just got a notification from Xcel that our electricity prices are going to go up a little over 12%. Did you get one of those as well?
I did.
So let's think about it. So we're already, so you're going to want to create more demand on that particular grid, and they're doing this while they are trying to put out of business our organic fossil fuels that have given us energy independence. It's reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant. And instead, he's using an executive order, government policy, to make us more dependent on China, because we are not, at this time, to my understanding, not even mining rare earth minerals here in the United States. And batteries, all batteries have a number of rare earth minerals on that. And right now, China has that market buttoned up. So let's connect the dots. When Blinken says that he's concerned about China and what their saber rattling in the South China Sea and their nuclear enhancements that they're doing, they're just all blowing smoke on this, Steve, because they are selling us out to China right now. That's what's happening.
I had heard that the initial response to this, he made this statement, or he told the manufacturing execs last week that he was doing this, that since then, the initial response from around the world was the fact that the Chinese were smiling.
Well, absolutely. And I was thinking about it yesterday. I got my car serviced last week, and I have an American-made car. And I looked over at the new car lot, and there were hardly any cars there. And the technician who I've worked with for many years said, you know what, Kim, we used to get 200 cars a month. We're only getting 20. And it's a part of it's because of the computer chip that I guess they need from Japan. And I'm thinking, if Donald Trump was president, he would say, okay, Americans, let's get this figured out and let's get a chip created. But instead, I'm looking at him thinking, gosh, I don't know. If I wanted to buy a new car, could I get one? So anyway, Steve, we're about out of time, but it's been a really great show. Greatly appreciate each and every one of you as my listeners. And our quote for today is from Nathan Hale. And again, he was hanged at the age of 21 because he was spying for the Americans during the Revolutionary War. That occurred in September of 1776, and this is what he said. Hale is what he is in the American pantheon, not because of what he did, but because of why he did it. And I guess that must have been somebody quoting about him. Anyway, today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry.